Christmas Day, 1864, the beloved poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow received the word that his son, a soldier in the Civil War, had been wounded. Just 2 years before, Henry had lost his wife in a fire. As this devout Christian man sat alone with his grief on the most joyful of holy days, he penned words of hope to challenge his own despair. He called his composition Christmas Bells. Little did he know that those words would someday be set to music and become a blessing to millions of people around the world. The song is about despair and hope in the times that we feel down and out, that God is still there. He's not sleeping, he's not dead, he is alive. Bells on Christmas Day.
Peace.
it's on earth, it will to man. We have a moment of silence for all the ones that we love that are not here tonight. Father, thank you for this night. Thank you for the birth of your Son. Thank you for your cross, most of all, that captures all of the love. Father, you are so good to us in times of despair, in times we need hope. You lift us up and encourage us. Father, we want to be friends and family that lift each other up in times of need. When we're down and out and it feels like the anxieties and stresses of life continue to pull us down, and you're right there. So tomorrow, as we celebrate your birth, will we remember there's hope in the end of the year when everything feels grim and bare. Father, you are there. Lift us up. Encourage us with these words tonight. We thank you again for your cross and all these people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Time. It was when the Lord met with his disciples and he gathered them together. And it's the time that we call communion or the Lord's Supper. And what a perfect opportunity tonight for all of us to be able to share in the Lord's Supper tonight. Christmas Eve. It was an intimate time for him. He had his disciples gathered around him, and they were sharing that moment together before he went to the cross, before he was crucified, before the resurrection. And then he continues and he asks us to fellowship together, to break bread together, to take communion together. So, let's everyone, if you will, if you'll bring out the elements. And if you need some, if you did not receive that, if you could raise your hand and one of our ushers will come around and get some elements to you. We have someone over here and anyone else. Right here. So let's take these elements now. The Word says that it's the heart of the Lord that all of us remember what He did, His sacrifice. That's why it's such an intimate time that we can come together and take the elements together. So when Paul is explaining to the church in Corinthians what and how we're to take communion together, he says on that night, the night when he was going to be betrayed, the Last Supper, Jesus, he took the bread and he showed it to the disciples. Then he broke it. And he said, "This is my body that will be broken for you on Calvary. So whenever you take of this, remember me and what I did for you." So let's take this together. Then the Word says, after supper, after that moment, he took the cup and he looked at all of them and said, "My suffering is about to begin. My blood will be shed for you on the cross. So whenever you drink of this, when you do, Think about what I did. Remember me. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your sacrifice. We celebrate your birth tonight. It's Christmas Eve. It's about what you did for us. Yes, you were born in a manger, but you didn't stay there. You traveled, you lived, and then you sacrificed for each and every one of us. And now you desire most of all tonight that we give our hearts to you. Thank you for that. Be with each and every one of us, each and every family. We pray for your healing down upon us. It's in Jesus' name we love and pray. Amen. Now we have a video and I believe a children's presentation.
Hi. Thank you for joining us at worship tonight. We are so honored to have you. Church at the Beach started just a short time ago, and this is our fourth Christmas Eve service. We are a non-denominational, life-giving, Christian family ministry with friendship at heart. We have a warm, welcoming atmosphere, contemporary praise and worship, an amazing kids program, and ministry for middle school and high school teens. You can make friends by joining a small group or serve on one of our many ministry service teams. Our pastor shares practical messages from God's Word that help us with everyday, real-life issues. We meet right here at the New Smyrna Beach High School every Sunday at 10 a.m. Come check us out in January. As this is our annual tradition, Church at the Beach observes a day of rest on the Sunday following Christmas Day. We honor our staff and faithful volunteers with a day of rest. We ask you set aside a private time of worship in your homes. Please feel free to take communion elements home with you today. Now, without further ado, we proudly present our elementary and high school student ministry performing A Shadow Nativity. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child.
Thank you.
So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, as it was told to them. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Kept all these things and pondered them in her heart.
I don't know what I would do if everything was perfect every time we have church. The last time we took communion, I spilled the grape juice all over me, all over my white shirt before the service. I was on the front worshiping, and I had opened it to prepare myself, and the grape juice was all over me. Then, tonight, the mic, of course, doesn't work. And I realize I probably should watch some of those sermons that I've been speaking, that things aren't always perfect, right? And it doesn't matter how we plan, how we put something together, and how many times we work on that. Life is not perfect. Neither is Christmas Eve. And neither will be Christmas Day. But I really do believe that our hearts can be complete, that our hearts can help us to be able to celebrate and worship in the midst of chaos, or when things don't work out right, when family members say things that they shouldn't, when you receive that call that someone says, "I wanted to come home, but I can't." And for so many, as I've been reminded lately, some of the texts and voicemails from my friends, Christmas can be a difficult time where depression can try to set in and sadness. But we must just continue to advance and to go forward and to celebrate through that, to love Him and trust Him through that. Let's not give the mistakes and the anxiety and the fear and depression and the things that don't work out. Let's not let that be the centerpiece on our mantle. Let's allow Jesus Christ and His sacrifice and what He did to be the centerpiece for all of us. And let's celebrate Him anyway. This Christmas, let's love Him anyway. I love one of the things that my dad used to do. And I didn't have any of this planned tonight, but I feel like it's of the Lord. That in the middle of Christmas morning, we would be ripping apart presents and everyone was going about their thing, you know, wanting to see what they received. And then my brother was going to take all of the paper, throw it in the fireplace, and then we were going to go on like Christmas never happened. And right then, in the midst of that, my dad would just start singing Happy Birthday, Jesus. The song, Happy, 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 Happy Birthday, Jesus. He had a special ring. I'm not going to do that because I'm tone deaf. Sorry that you had to hear that. But it is about the birth of Christ. It's about what He did for us. So let's celebrate that birth in the midst of everything else. Because I believe that everything else just leads us to Him. So if you have your Bibles and you want to open, I'm going to be in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 2. I'm going to ask if you will follow along with me and let's read just what I was talking about. Let's read the Christmas story together. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. So now that we've read the Christmas story together, the birth of the Messiah, let's watch a video together on part of the Christmas story.
All booked up, sorry.
We don't need much.
What part of I'm all booked up did you not understand? I have no room for you in my inn.
Please. We've been walking for days.
Do you think you are the first person to pound on my door at this hour of the night looking for a room?
There has to be something. A closet, perhaps.
You can keep asking the same question. I'm going to give you the same answer.
Why? What are you doing up? You need to rest now. We won't be any trouble. And I'll pay you whatever you want. Please.
I'm sorry. No vacancies.
God'll provide.
Okay. Hey. Give me a minute.
Yes. Wow. If you talk about things not working out, if you talk about mics not working or a child running away during the performance or something being cut off, or if you talk about being lonely and things not working out in your life, Joseph and Mary, they would be able to relate. And if they were in front of you, they would tell you their stories and their struggles. But I have something I want everyone to think about. Think about, if you will, tonight, tomorrow, and the days that follow. I believe that spiritually, even symbolically, that all of you, all of us, are innkeepers. All of us are in that role, the role in Luke chapter 2. We're all innkeepers. And the question is, will we make room for the Lord? Will you make room for Him? And I want to give you that opportunity tonight as we celebrate Christmas Eve, Christmas morning together. I want to give you that opportunity. Some of you may have never made that decision to let Christ in. Some of you may say, well, I was an innkeeper once and I did let Jesus Christ in. But just maybe, like Jesus told the church in Revelations, maybe you've lost your first love. Maybe He's wandering around somewhere in your house, in your heart. And you may bring Him out or recognize Him on special occasions or on some Sundays. But the Lord wants to be an active part of your life and your family's life. So that's the question I want you to think about. Will you let Him in? And I believe when we look at this Christmas story, the most poignant thing, one of those things that the Lord has put on my heart, is this. And it's found in that verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. The Lord is asking you tonight, because I know His heart. And how do I know His heart? Because it's written all throughout His Word that He wants you to let Him in, to open the door of your heart. And I believe that's His prayer, His hope for each and every one of us tonight. Our opportunity as an innkeeper is right now, tonight. Because something happens whenever we leave. Whenever we leave the service, life happens. Busyness happens. And as an innkeeper, what will your response be to Him? Because I believe that some, as spiritually or symbolically as that innkeeper, I believe that some say yes, and then before He comes inside, they change their mind. I know that some just say no immediately and slam the door. And some may hesitate, maybe for a moment. And I've even seen some that will open the door and say, oh, wait a minute, I know someone that will let you in. It's one of my friends down the street. They need you. Someone at work, they need you. One of my neighbors, they're having a really tough time. They need you. But I don't. I just don't have room for you right now. And some say that because of things they've been in, things they've been through. That they say to the Lord, I would let you in, but I just can't because I've seen so much hypocrisy around me. You know, from others that have let you in. I've seen the way they've acted, and I haven't seen a change. I've been judged by some of them. I see how critical some Christians are. They let you in, and so I just think the answer is going to be no. And then silently, the door is closed. I know some are kind and say, I'm so sorry. I want to be really nice about this, but the answer is no. But I hope you end up being okay. I'll say a prayer for you. In Revelation 3 in verse 20, this is the Lord's heart to each and every one of us. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone, any man, any woman, anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. This is what all of us must realize. His promise is if we open it, if we allow him, he will come in and sup with him and he with me. What that means, that word, it means to dine. It means to fellowship. When we open the door, it's not for your neighbor or a friend. It's not even for your spouse or your children. Albeit they will receive the benefits of what happens when we open the door and let him in. Of the change that takes place in our hearts. But Jesus says right there, if we will allow him in, that he will come in and he will fellowship with us. That is such an amazing thing, a wonderful promise. It gives us hope and it helps us to celebrate through the storms that I know so many of you are facing. It's Christmas Eve, and he's knocking. The second thing that I feel like is so important for us when we read that story, the Christmas story, is if you open the door, as I said, everything changes. In one of the Apostle Paul's letters, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says, therefore, if anyone opens the door, allows him to come in, and allows that fellowship to take place, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. That's the good news. That's the gospel for each and every one of us. He will bring change to our hearts, our lives, and our families. And the last point tonight is that I really believe that there are so many that have opened the door, yet refuse to dine with him, refuse to allow him to be active in your hearts and in your lives. Refuse to come to him with simple prayer and to say to him, you're welcome in my heart. You're welcome in my life. I want that relationship. I'm going to allow you to come in. And maybe for some of you, you just need to go and find him. Go to that prayer closet, wherever that is, and say, I once invited you in. But I want a new life now. I want you to be more than just an every once in a while Lord and Savior, or a special occasion Father, or a maybe once a Sunday. I want you to fellowship with me, and I want to fellowship with you. That's His heart. He says in His Word, "For God so loved the world," the greatest Christmas story, "that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever," that's all of us, "whosoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life." That when we make that decision, we will be with Him in all eternity. I want to end with a personal story that I feel like you can maybe relate to over these holidays. And it's a story that happened to my family. And yes, it was Thanksgiving. And everyone was so excited about Christmas. And we had this tradition in our home, probably like so many of your traditions. We would get together and we would honor my grandmother, the last patriarch of my and our family. And we would decorate the Christmas tree together. So my grandmother was there and everyone started piling in. But one thing I noticed is that everyone kind of started doing their own thing. And my sister brought in the tree, she and her husband, and she came up to me and said, Where was everyone? We had to carry the tree from the truck to the house by ourselves. And she wasn't happy. And she said, "Isn't that just great? You guys are plopped in front of the TV, doing your own thing, while we had to drag the tree in, and it doesn't look as good as it should." And then they put the tree up, and she said, "Go tell everyone that they are going to help us decorate this tree, and we're going to be happy." And I'm like, "Yes, ma'am." So I went to tell all of my siblings and everyone that was there, "Hey, our sister wants us all to come and decorate the tree, and she's not happy." Well, I'm the middle of five kids, and I was always trying to be peacemaker, but there was no peace. It just wasn't going to happen. Someone said something back, and I wasn't going to repeat that to her, and everyone was once again kind of doing their own thing. So it wasn't a together thing. There was really no joy in this gathering. And then we had this long table, and every placemat was set. Everything was perfect. And someone had wheeled my grandmother in her wheelchair at the front of the table because, you know, we were going to honor her, and that's where she was. And I was out back playing with one of my nieces or nephews, and I came upstairs, and everyone had already gotten their food. And they weren't at the table. And where we always go around the table and say what we're thankful for, and then we tell my grandmother how much we love her and what we're thankful for about her life. And I went downstairs, and everyone was watching the football game and doing their own thing. Their food was almost gone, and my grandmother was sitting alone at this big table by herself. And I said, "Hey, everyone, isn't this just wonderful?" Someone said, "You mean that Dallas is losing?" And I'm like, "No, Dallas is always losing. That's my team." I guess you can tell that I'm being sardonic. I said, "Gran is alone by herself at the table. We have all left her there." And I thought, isn't this the best Thanksgiving in the world? And later, my sister and I were processing after my grandmother had died, and my father had died, and my mother had died, and my grandfather had died. We didn't have anyone else. And she said, "I just wish I had that time back. I wish I had those moments back. But we don't. It's hard to recapture what is lost. It's hard to go back. But all of us can go forward. All of us can let tonight be the night where we don't leave the Lord at the head of the table by himself. Where we put aside the things that we're upset about. Where we finally forgive those that have hurt us. That we finally say, it's okay that they haven't called me back or text me back or that they put that message on Facebook that hurt my feelings. It's okay. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to get over my thing. And I'm going to fellowship with the Lord. Because we're all innkeepers. And he's standing at the door and he's knocking. Will you let him in? Let's pray. Father, we bring ourselves before your presence tonight. And we just pray for our hearts and our families and our broken dreams and broken relationships and our not so perfect world. And we're just praying that we will please you on Christmas Eve, that we will truly celebrate your birth on Christmas Day. And we're all praying right now that if someone doesn't know you and you're standing at their door, that they will let you in and others will find you and you will become a permanent part of their family. Be with all of us now in the things that we face. And as every head's bowed and every eye is closed, there may be someone that answers that call. That says, that's me. I want to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to believe in him. I want to invite him into my heart. I want to open the door tonight. And if that's speaking to you, we don't embarrass anyone. We just ask you to do a couple of simple things where you are, but it must come from you. We ask you to take your hand and put it over your heart. It's a sign of surrender from you to him. It's a sign where you're saying, I want you in my heart. I want you to come in. I want to open the door. Yes, I am an innkeeper. And I desire to let you in. I want you to come in and fellowship with me. So if that's speaking to your heart tonight, all over, just put your hand over your heart and then say this simple prayer with me. Dear God, in the name of Jesus, I want to believe in you right now. I'm making this decision. Come in and dwell with me. Dwell with me. Fellowship with me. Dine with me. Teach me more about you and your word. And help me to forgive and to love others. Help me with this new life that you want me to have. Thank you for that. And dear Lord, help all of us to find you. Even if we've let you in, help us to come and find you and say, I'm sorry, Lord, that I've left you at the end of the table alone. I want you to be part of my life, my everyday life. Thank you for that. I love you so much. In Jesus' name, we love and pray. I'm going to ask if the ushers will, if you will find the strategic locations. This is for our church family. This is the last time if anyone desires to give to the Lord. We will not be having service on Sunday. And we will not be meeting again until after January. So I want to give everyone the opportunity. If you're visiting, the time of giving for us is an act of worship for those that are members and regular attenders. So we ask you just to sit back and relax. And if anyone has any prayer requests, you can write those on the bulletin and place those in as the ushers come around. So, ushers, if you will come forward, and I am continuing to pray for everyone that God will meet your need and supply everything that you need for you and your family. God bless you.
Would you light your candles for Silent Night right now? And I just need a little bit of help on this next song. We just have the kids come down front and join us for Silent Night. Ready, guys? Silent night,
holy night.
This calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Spending Christmas with us. Before you go, the kids are going to do one more thing as you leave, and we just want to thank you. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Should we start for them?
The music is on the track. Technical difficulties here. Oh, there we go, slide two. Here we go.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Good tidings to you, wherever you are. Happy.
God bless you. Good night and Merry Christmas. Thank you for coming.